Hi, welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. Today we look at how hoteliers can turn competitor intelligence into additional revenue in a very simple way using readily accessible data. The same data that every guest can use when choosing a hotel, and that includes your competitor hotels. To help us along with this conversation, we're joined by Chris Glubinsky from Aggregate Intelligence, the company behind Rate Metrics. So, show me a hotelier who doesn't want to stay competitive, make informed strategic decisions, increase revenue, profits, and customer satisfaction, and I will show you a hotelier who shouldn't listen to this episode. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hey, Chris, thanks for joining us today. How are things with you? Are you well?
Hello, Trevor. Nice to be here. I'm all well. And how about you?
Yep, very good indeed. Thanks. And looking forward to our topic. The theme of the discussion, pretty straightforward. How can hotels monetize their data? And when we were talking about putting this together, one of the things that came out is that you believe there's some core data that is reasonably, I'll say, easily accessible to hotels that if they've utilized properly could drive additional revenue. Yeah, was that a fair statement?
That's exactly right, yes.
All right, fine. Well, before we dive into that, probably useful if you just give those who are watching and listening a brief intro into who you are, and then we'll dive into a topic. So over to you.
Okay, so my name is Chris. I'm the VP for Strategy and Product for Aggregate Intelligence, which is a company that is specializing in the travel data, big data. And I have been dealing in the hotel and airline industry on revenue management distribution fields for the last 20 years, probably. So we're trying to actually monetize the data that we collect. That's how we make business. Mm-hmm. And I think last week I was at the ITB trade shows in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like monetizing data is happening to be a big trend now. I think that we are so overwhelmed with big data. It's all around us. And it's like radio waves. It's everywhere, all the stations, etc. Mm-hmm. But I think that the core focus for everyone now will be on how to utilize this data, how to tune in, what's my radio to tune into the station that I want to say. And that's exactly what's happening with the data right now. So the monetizing data is a trendy subject now. We've got the data and we do that. We have been doing that since years. So it's a great opportunity for us to discuss how in an easy and accessible way, everyone could start thinking about monetizing the data that is most popular and available out there.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. And with your background and knowing you, we've spoken a number of times, knowing your background around the revenue management space and also around the data space, would seem to be pretty perfectly positioned to talk to us about how can we take some of that core data and actually do something with it. So let's dive into it. Let's start first of all, picking up on your point about this big data and there's so much data everywhere. But when we were talking mm-hmm. about this topic, you highlighted to me that there are probably three, maybe slightly more, but I'll pass it over to you. But there are some core bits of data that hotels could be using. So let's maybe if you could just highlight what you think are the core pieces that hotels could be looking at, and then we can go into, so what do we mean about actually monetizing this?
Right. Well, There's basically two types of data for hotels. It's the internal data and the external data, right? Okay. So the easiest way to analyze is what is available on the external world because it's out there. If you go to internet and you get the information, you get the data. The internal ones, we leave it aside because it's up to the type of PMS that the hotels are using, what type of other analytical tools that they're using, and that can be very a complex analysis part. The easy way is just to go to the internet and then just to check my competitor prices, check my if there's any events happening in my destination, and probably somewhere in between position yourself against the competition, which means that you need to look not only at the prices or location, but also at how the guests are perceiving the value of my hotel versus other hotels. Mm-hmm. And there's great tools out there. You know, you have booking.com. All you need to do is search your destination, filter out from the left-hand side navigation bar on the booking.com. I want hotels. I want to my star rating. I want to be within my scoring range.
Yep.
And suddenly you will funnel down into the hotels that are similar like yours. So that's out there, available, and everybody can use that to start monetizing that information.
In the same way that when I search for a hotel, that's I want a hotel. I want a 4 or 5 star. I want review or ranking scores to be above a certain level, and I get what I'm looking at to make a choice. You're just using the same filtering, but putting it the only way around.
Exactly, but we have to put ourselves in the customer's shoes, right? Mm-hmm. We cannot go, you know, our own way when the customer is doing something different. So we have to follow the customer path.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. So that data is external data, as you say. So when people often think about the phrase monetizing data, they think about data they have that maybe they can sell. And we're not talking about monetizing that data. What we're doing is we're talking about how do we take external data that we can see about us and about our competitors, and how do we turn that round to help us to make more money, i.e. more revenue from doing that. And this is what draws from your experience of from revenue management and also aggregating and pulling in data and joining those two things up so one can start to influence the other. Is that right?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Maybe we should call it converting your data to revenue instead of data monetizing, because you're right. When you monetize data, you think about selling the data.
Yeah.
But what we hear is converting what we have in the internet, on the internet, into revenue for our hotels.
Yeah, converting your external data to revenue, so to speak, isn't it?
Maybe we should think about that, maybe.
Well, that
developing
might be
new trends.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, then let's picking up on that. Let's talk. How do we do that then? What's your proposition? What's your proposal about how hotels should be going about actually converting the utilization of that external data and turn it into revenue?
Mm-hmm. So, in order to do that, can I share my screen just to paint the picture?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do a screen share. Okay, right, ready when you are. Okay, great. Yep, screen shared. Ready to go. What are you showing us?
So as I've mentioned, very simple thing. We're going to the internet, to one of the online travel agents, mm-hmm. and we are looking for something that is close to our comp set. What I did is I used the filters, as I mentioned. I've selected hotels. I have selected the price range. Very important thing from the customer's perspective. Mm-hmm. There's a very big difference between $149 and $152 than between $100 and $150, right? Psychologically, customers go with price ranges. Mm-hmm. I've selected 3 stars, and I selected some destinations from the city center type of hotels, and I've selected the review scoring, very good, 8+. And what I get in return is the list of hotels that potentially are available for my criteria as a customer, and therefore I would perceive them to be a little bit as competitors.
Okay,
and what you can see here, see the price range that the hotels have, 148, 148, 150, 145, 150, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Now, what is the average price range of that market? Somewhere around $150.
Mm-hmm.
But which hotel has $148 or which hotel has $150? We probably don't remember, because the perception of these prices is so close that we're thinking in these price ranges.
Yep.
So what I'm trying to say is that if you think price ranges, you can influence your price by very little amount, which will be within that range, where no one will notice that you have fiddled with that price, but you can actually benefit to your revenue. So if that hotel in one of the hotels changed the price from 148 to 149 or 150, would you think that any other customers or any other competitions would have noticed that?
Yep, I see.
There's a very like there's a very big chance that no one would notice because it falls in with the range anyway. It actually could be even an error factor of the price.
Mm-hmm.
But the benefit of increasing that price by 1-2 euros or dollars in a yearly scale is massive.
Right.
So let me show you how that could work when we look at the calculations.
Okay. Yep.
I will change the screens now into a whiteboard to show you.
Okay. Perfect. Yep. Okay. We can see the whiteboard. So fire away.
So I have prepared this simple example on one of the hotels that we have seen on the display. That mm-hmm. hotel has 76 rooms, and let's assume the average occupancy is 60%. We're talking Barcelona. I'm sure this hotel has much higher occupancy, but for the purpose of this example, let's say it's 60%.
Mm-hmm.
And if the price range that we have seen is between 148, 150, etc., let's assume the average price of that hotel is 150 throughout the year. Obviously, there's seasonality, but let's average it out.
That makes
sense. The total revenue for that hotel is 2.49 million euros per year that they are making. Providing mm-hmm. these conditions, 76 rooms times 60% of occupancy times 150 average price. Now, as we've mentioned, if this hotel would be increasing their prices on a daily basis, very frequent basis, by 1 or 2 euros, let's say they can increase by doing that when no one is noticing, neither the customer nor the competitor,
mm-hmm.
by 3 euros on the average price. The benefit of that is they're no longer making $2.49 million per year. They're making $2.54 million per year, which is a $49,000 difference.
Right.
Right. And yeah. that's like a huge benefit of something that you do very often
mm-hmm.
on something that nobody notices even.
Yep.
So that's the thing. Typically, revenue managers and revenue management systems, they do a lot of calculations. They analyze markets, demands, and they analyze everything that's happening out there. And then they sit down, they make meetings, and they make price decisions, and then they change their prices. Not too often, because these decisions are pretty big, and the consequences of these decisions are also pretty big. And normally, they make a large price changes.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're talking about here is, just let go of all that huge data analysis, see what you got, and increase the price from 147 to 150, and then let the customers buy that because it's within the range of buying perspective of the customer. It's small thing on the yearly scale, it can make a very big impact.
That makes sense. Let's,
and that's
let's...
what I'm trying to say. That's how you convert the data into revenue in a very easy and quick way.
That makes a lot of sense. Let's bring you back. So if you stop,
yep.
Perfect, good. So we've got you back. Yeah, I mean, 49,000 euros. There's no additional cost to achieve
nope.
that. So that's
nope.
straight to the bottom line.
Yeah.
Yep. I
could ask one person from every hotel that applies this method,
yeah,
I'd be rich.
Yeah, and I, you know, okay, there's a little bit of time, but you're using, if you're using just, you use one of the OTAs, just as a simple guide to give you an idea. And as you say, you're not using a sophisticated RMS solution. You're just saying, okay, there is data that's available out there that tells me what's going on in my market. What, more importantly, the guest seems to be prepared to pay, because those hotels will be reflecting what the market rate is. So if you're at 149, 148, 147, and push it up to 150, which we saw in that example of the mm-hmm. screen share, then that's all additional revenue, but not at a psychological leap that's going to make it really hard for the guest to think, oh, okay, that's now outside of the others in that space. Why am I paying more for it? It just doesn't seem to register. Is that right?
Exactly. It's based on a simple psychology of buying of the customer, where the customer never looks at the price, singular price. They always look in the price range. If you're going buying a car, buying TV, or buying anything, you always think in the reasonable price range that that fits to your cost, to your willingness to pay, and your ability to pay. And that's that. So use that price range, and then just make small tweaks, and the revenue is out there. Scalability does the rest for you.
Makes a lot of sense. And I think I picked up on a point that you said is about your competitors not necessarily knowing. It made me maybe think of a story around British cycling where Sir Dave Brailsford, he came up with this concept of marginal gains. That there were two elements to it. One is he knew he couldn't do much with cycling and nutrition to fundamentally shift things and come up with anything really radical. And also he was conscious that everyone looks at each other. So what they worked out was if we could get 1% gain in 10 different areas, that ended up in a 10% gain, but was small enough incremental that they all add up together, but also they could be imperceivable to the competitors until they obviously hit the track. And in a way, it's not a fair comparison, but in a way, what you're saying is just 1 or 2 or 3 euro here is not enough if the competitors are maybe using an RMS to shift and adjust pricing, or if they've got a revenue manager that's looking at the pricing. That's not a perceived enough change for someone to react to it. So you still sit within your competitor set, but you're just driving additional revenue straight to the bottom line.
I think your example is perfect. The marginal gains is exactly the concept that we are talking about, because like the cyclist, there is no way, physical way for any other cyclist to suddenly increase their speed by 20% mm-hmm. and increase their results by 20%. You work that out. It's an evolution that works out all these, you know, over periods of time that people cycle faster and faster, mm-hmm. but it's never 20% jump.
Yeah.
How funny to see though is that revenue managers think about increasing their prices by 20% because it's, you know, mentally it's very optimistic from the owner's perspective. So, well, if I had that average price increased by 20%, it's just 20%, then my revenue would just zoom out. But it puts you out of the market if you do that, right?
Yep.
So you're in competition, you're in that race, and the only way to win that race is the marginal increases, marginal gains, as you've said. Very good example. That's exactly that.
Makes a lot of sense. So if that data, as you just showed us, is out there and it's accessible, why are hotels not? I mean, some are, obviously. I mean, we're kind of not broad brush. I mean, there are hotels that are doing it. But, you know, you guys, you wouldn't be on here talking about it if it was being done 100% of the time, because part of it is, it's a frustration. I don't understand. They're just leaving revenue on the table. And also, as we'll get to later in the conversation, you've got a solution that works with that data and utilizes that data. So what do you think are some of the maybe actual or even perceived barriers that hotels have around looking at this data?
So here's the thing to what you've mentioned. First of all, if you make invisible price changes, we don't know who's making them because we don't see them, right?
Okay, they're invisible. Yeah.
Right. So we don't know who's making this kind of marginal changes. Who's not? So that's one thing.
But that's a good point.
I think there are no barriers because anyone can do that and anyone can start experimenting and learning whether that works or not. It's more of the behavior or a traditional behavior that hoteliers have or revenue managers have in how they work.
Okay.
So they usually, I think it comes from the time, the jump from, with the time jump in the data evolution has been so fast from the time where we had, you know, disks and servers in a cellar up to the cloud. It jumped so fast that our process of working has not caught up yet. So we are being overwhelmed with the data, and we try to deal with that by analyzing the data. And I did many surveys in the past. And what I realized and during the conferences when I talked to revenue managers, they spend 80% of their time on analyzing the data and only 20% on making some conclusions and decisions and price actions from that analysis. So I think this is the core problem where the data is overwhelming and we're trying to force it and get out of that overwhelming by analyzing the data. And so we do invest a lot of time in that and we have less time to make big decisions. We should just leave that aside, let this, you know, keep the data for strategic decisions and tactically just manage prices in a very low risk, invisible price changes, but very often.
Yeah, that makes sense. And when we're talking about hotels, I mean, that is a broad remit from groups to massive groups, management companies, small groups, independent properties. Can this, you know, is this something when we're talking here about these marginal gains and, you know, converting this data into additional revenue? Are we talking here? Are we assuming that, you know, the big hotel groups, the large management companies, they've already got this buttoned down, and we're talking here to small, medium-sized group independent properties, or is there value across the board?
I think, well, in my opinion, the value is across the board. But as we've mentioned, the traditional way of working could be very different. The global hotel chains, the ones that are working on grid pricing, you know, grid pricing has bigger jumps. The decision between which grid to apply is or which level of price to apply is a bigger decision because the price jump is bigger. And they may not have necessarily the background, technological background, to apply this price optimization on a very frequent basis. On the other hand, their independent hotels have full flexibility and decision making, so they can jump into that immediately. The only question is, if in our example, it was just, you know, for some 49,000, maybe a lot, but for some, it may be just. Maybe I will use that resource to go and get a contract that is worth 400,000 euros. Sure. Instead of sitting there and changing 2 euro prices. So it depends on the priorities and what the owners are perceiving to be the best way for making most profit for them.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Now, you're here, as you say, from Aggregant Intelligence, but one of the solutions that we're talking about here is a solution called Rate Metric. So can you tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll do a screen share and you can also show us a bit about it?
Yes, so we have created Rate Metric. We create a lot of products because we have the data and we want to utilize this data. Sometimes not necessarily from profit perspective, but from educational perspective. So we have created Rate Metric. It's a rate shopper. So if anyone knows what Rate Shopper is, that's exactly that. For those who don't know what Rate Shopper is we have the tool that goes into booking.com to what we've had in the beginning of our conversation, and it does that automatically for you for many days out.
Gotcha.
Exactly. Instead of going there, noting, you know, creating column in Excel, this price, we're doing that automatically for you. So it's at the fingertips, just log in and you get all that information. Gotcha. So that's what Rate Metric is. The different or the unique side of Rate Metric is that we have decided to give it away for free for a certain limit of, you know, day criteria, days out, number of competitors, etc. Because we wanted to see how hotels would apply the data that we get in the Rate Shopper. And it's exactly that what we have discussed before. We're getting the prices from the OTAs. We've got all the competition. Now you see the prices. And now you make the decisions. So we are trying to influence the evolvement of any hotel owner, room owner, or a property owner into that type of price competitive thinking and marginal price changes.
So just to clarify, so you have this solution, and we're going to look at it in a minute so people yep. can then see it. But what you're saying is, if I was a hotelier, I could go in, I could sign up, I could put a certain number of competitors in, I could look a certain period of time out, and we'll see in a minute the solution that would show me what the pricing is, and I can do that for free. So I can engage in it. There's no risk. It's not like sign up and in a couple of months the subscription will start. As long as you stay within these parameters, it's free forever.
Yep, exactly. To be honest, but don't mention to anyone. you can set it up yourself as a traveler for the destination you want to travel next, just to check
Keep an eye on the prices.
To be honest, you can do that. But yes, we have created it in a way that we can provide this information for everyone and for free and forever.
Okay.
We hope from our business perspective that some people may actually start thinking more and thinking, trying to have more competitors on their Outlook, yep. more days on their Outlook, so that they will then upsell into higher plans, because we do have that.
Yeah.
But the basic section is a very robust rate shopping solution that is available for anyone out there. We have, since we've launched it, we already have hundreds of users, and it seems it's doing its job. The main job is to have the conscious knowledge of your market and of your comp set. And the next step from that is what we're discussing today yeah. is to monetize it.
Yeah. And I think, as you're saying, what you're trying to do is for those that maybe for whatever reason, if there are other solutions out there, but they charge you from the start, and someone might be thinking, well, I'm not quite sure what the value of this is. You're saying, well, here's a chance to at least step into it and start to get some data and start to have a look and see what's there. And then, you know, get a handle of what it's about, what it could do for them. And then, as you say, there are other elements that they could then look to build on, but it's just trying to make it really easy entry to get in and start thinking what data is out there. Let's look at the solution. Can you do a screen share for us?
Yes, I'm doing a screen share now.
Okay, great. Yep, we've got you there. So what do we, so I can see the name on that hotel is the same as the one that was on the booking.com.
Exactly. Pardon to that hotel. I don't know the hotel. I just picked up randomly.
Yeah, it's purely for example.
However, it's a real example, and it's publicly available data. So I don't think there should be any problems with that. So before I jump into what kind of data we have here, that's the free version, and I've just set it up 10 minutes before our conversation for that hotel. Mm-hmm. And as we talk about prices, so you have the calendar view, and you can see where your price is versus your competitors. You have obviously the filters to trigger to say when are you lower than competition, and that's what I would like to focus on. I would like to people not only think about having the lowest rate on the market, but actually see where you have the lowest rate on the market and act upon that, because that's where that marginal price increases will be beneficial.
Gotcha.
So when you use your filters, you've got a couple of days where your prices are below your comp set, and that comp set is very strict. They're very similar in terms of ratings. They're very similar in terms of character hotels. So when I click on that date that shows me a green, I can see my competitors, and in the free version we can look at four different competitors, what the prices are of that particular day.
Okay.
So when you see that, if I'm competing within that concept, if I perceive these guys stealing my customers, my price is 113 euros and theirs is 120, 130 and 145. That one is explainable because it's a chain hotel, so that I may, as an owner of Hotel Condado, be okay with that. But since the others have such prices, my strategy may be I want to be in the lower part because I want to gain more demand, because I can think that people will come to me because I have a lower price. But the point is, if I increase that price to 150, what would change?
I was going to say, I was even sitting there thinking, well, I could put it to 118. It's still under 120. So working on that psychology, you know, it kind of goes under because everyone rolls up to like fives and tens and things. I would have thought if I could get 5 extra euros, I'm still under my competitors.
Exactly. So there's another day and there's another day and there's another situation. And what I'm looking at is not to go with radical price changes to change my strategy and turn around the whole market in Barcelona.
Yep.
What I need is, you know, we have a €2 edge here over that hotel, but maybe we could do 115 again.
Yeah.
And nobody will notice in that situation. So that's how the monetization, converting that information into revenue, you will not see any benefit from that the moment you change the price. You will see that at the end of the year.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Because the scalability is doing the job. You might also look at, you know, you've got the calendar, and the free version goes 30 days out, so you've got the whole month under control. But if you're looking at the specific day, like here, 19th of March in Barcelona, we looked at the prices. I could have easily increased this price to 115, but then I can also bring, I am bringing here two other very valuable data types. One is for the reviews, and the reviews help me understand if my competition is aligned with my hotel. Obviously, if there's a big difference in review scoring between hotels, I don't think they are competing, even though they may be opposite each other on the street.
Yeah.
And the other one is events. And events is very interesting part, because there's lots of events happening in the city. You can see on the 19th of March, there's 34 events happening, the very big ones. But I have the ability to select the events that can be meaningful. So if I select the events with the expected attendees very, very high, I actually see that on that day, on the 18th, on the 19th of March, there are two big events that will contribute with people and attendance. And they are, for example, Barcelona versus Madrid, Real Madrid,
El Clásico, big football game.
On the 19th. 80,000 people is expected to come in there. I am sure there may be a lot of locals, but I am sure there may be a lot of tourists coming in specifically on that weekend. So the night between the Saturday and Sunday, if I go back to my rates, the night for here, as you can see, I'm fully booked, hotel is fully booked on the 18th, but then there is, you know, an extension to the next day on the 19th. And that could be something that hotels could consider to increase in a very low prices. And that's that. So you check the events, if there's anything happening, you check the price, the competitors, and you make small changes. And I'm sure it's going to work and affect your business very much. The reviews, I've just to say, the reason why I picked these hotels, and I use the you know, that very simple filter bar on booking.com to select them, but take a look at the scoring. These hotels are within the range. They may not be very close to each other in terms of location, but everything's close in Barcelona. So, you know, if the customer is looking at it, plus minus 20, 30 minutes doesn't make a big difference. All of the scoring is very similar. They all above 8. To 8.8 probably in the scoring. Very competitive. When I see this and I see the closeness of the scoring, I know that this is a very strong comp set that I am having.
You are working within a set of hotels or competing against a set of hotels in this selection that are perceived by their guests in a similar way. So it's a pretty fair comparison.
Exactly, and that's why I picked this comp set. So these scorings are the most important thing, because they represent customer perception of value of your product and your competitors. And probably there are some customers who stayed in some of these hotels multiple times. So that scoring is very big here. If we had a hotel scoring 9.5 or scoring 6.5 here, I probably wouldn't even consider competing with it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even consider analyzing the prices that they make because it's a completely different league. Within this scoring, I can see it's a great comp set, so I can really manage my prices. And on a very quick snapshot, you can see where my average prices are, and you can see where's the average price of my comp set, and you can see where the events are in the bar. So the bars represent the expected attendees for that particular day. And therefore, you know, I've got a quick snapshot, quick overview. There's a lot of days for that hotel that we've picked where they could increase by a couple of days each every single day, and nobody will notice. You can still be below competition if you want to, but at the higher price. And that's what we're talking about.
Okay, good. We got you back. Just looking at that, I can see that if we work on the basis, I thought the review scores was really interesting because that's often the question, isn't it? It's how are we setting up our comp set? Is it because they're 4-star or 3-star? Is it same sort of rooms? Is it a location? But the review score is a great value indicator, perceived value indicator from the guests, that if you know you're in that similar review scoring, that's a nice additional layer. But then when you attach that back to the score and see how far below you were on that date that you chose on the 19th of your rate than your competition, even though the competitors are all valued, the perceived value to the guests are exactly the same. It just almost made you think, well, why are we only at 113? We should easily be able to be at 115 because the next price point was 123. And it's like, well, no one's going to notice. There's still an €8 gap, but I've now added two euros. So
And I
think it was the point that you said, it's about trying to look at it not as, because sometimes the decision making is also very short term, isn't it? It's like, how are we responding? How are we adjusting our price to demand and all of those things that revenue professionals are much more experienced in than for me to talk about. But on a pure, if I look over the course of the year and how many rooms I have and my occupancy, and if I'm able to just adjust my rate 1, 2, 3, you know, anywhere between say 2 or 5 euros within that, what could that actually, I mean, that would be an interesting calculation for anybody who's watching this or listening to this to sit down and go, right, number of rooms, average occupancy, my typical rate, what if I add on, you know, if I just add on 3 euros for every room I book for my occupancy rate, what would that mean to me in additional revenue? I mean, that's straight through to the bottom line.
Absolutely. And also, when you do that thinking, just try to think, is that going to change the behavior of my bookings? If I increase my price by 3 euros, do you think that your bookings will drop suddenly? Mm. Or do you think that competition will go with crazy promotions reacting to the 3 euros? No. I don't think so.
So it's marginal gains. It goes unperceived.
Marginal gains. Exactly. Yeah. The cycling method of revenue management we've just created.
Very interesting. Brilliant. When we were talking about putting this together, it intrigued me because I just love playing with the psychology as well and looking at how the perception of pricing. But it just seems very logical, and the information is there. It's out there. It's not as if you're having to make a major investment or you're having to crunch a load of big data or get your internal tech talking to each other. This is publicly available. You could go and do it yourself if you want to manually, or as you say, here's a tool that gives you 30 days, 4 competitors, additional information around it because you've got the events and you've got the combined review scores in there to just help you look and think, crikey, what could we be gaining here? Yeah, it's okay. Yeah,
but this is not something genius that, you know, discovered.
No.
Typical pricing. It's a typical pricing action. And in fact, the new generations of revenue management system within the hotel industry, they already do automatic price optimization.
Yeah.
And that automatic price optimization is exactly that.
Yep.
But you don't have to check the prices and change the prices. The system does that for you.
Absolutely.
So it would be very interesting to check with these technology revenue management systems that have automated price optimization, how many percent of their customers are using it. Mm-hmm. Because if I had a revenue management, if I was a hotelier, if I owned a hotel, and if I invested in a revenue management system, I would not think, why would I not do automatic price optimization plus minus a couple of few euros anytime the system thinks that it's feasible to do.
Yeah,
I just don't think why I would not do that. So it's an interesting also the next step in the revenue evolution for hotel owners and hotel managers is to probably consider that. But I think we have explained the whole concept behind that automatic price optimization in our real terms using a free software that could get you every 3 euros gained on your average price brings you 49,000 euros per year. Something we give for free that can bring you 49,000 euros in return. I mean, that's kind of logic.
With seem it
at
to
least
me.
To try.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Brilliant. Well, I think on that note, there's probably nothing more to add to that. That was a very, very informative. Good topic to talk about. Some great demonstrations and great to see the rate metric solution. So thanks.
My
thanks
pleasure.
For your time. Much appreciated.
Thank you for your time, Trevor. Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone.
Take care. Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Chris for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. And if you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.